Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
That was great. It sounded really good.
Thank you.
Welcome to All Things Internet, a show where we talk about things we see on the internet that usually have to do with the internet, and Emily does her darndest to fact check and research most of the things that we say. She can't research the stuff that comes out of my mouth just randomly in the middle of her things. But all the things we have planned, she has researched. I am your host, Rachel Ballinger, and then here is the co-host,
Emily Brostaff.
And that's it. You want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay, go.
All right, so we have a follow-up to last week's drama. If you missed our latest episode, we covered the news surrounding the anti-abortion documentary, air quotes.
Those are quotes, yes.
Yes, that the LeBrant family put out on YouTube. And if you don't know what we're talking about, what have you been doing with your life? Just kidding. Just go watch our last episode. But we do have some updates. So first, the video did end up getting demonetized.
It did?
Sucks to suck. Anyway, and then so basically one of the big things we talked about last week is pretty early on in the video, they showed the death toll from the Holocaust.
Yes.
And the number of abortions that have taken place in the U.S., seemingly comparing the two figures. Obviously, the entire documentary went viral and was heavily criticized across all social media platforms, but the Holocaust comparison was probably the one that was like one of the most talked about points in the video. And after receiving a ton of backlash, Savannah, who's like the mom of the channel, finally took to Twitter to respond.
This is and my favorite. My girlfriend read it and she was like, "What is happening?"
Who is her publicist?
No one, apparently.
Yeah, she needs Kris Jenner. Anyway, all right. We all need Kris Jenner. She said, "We didn't mean it in a hurtful way or anything." Really starting off strong. "I do understand nothing should be compared to something like the Holocaust. I didn't go through to edit the video. Cole edits most of our videos that are uploaded. I do apologize for any hurtful things the video has done. The uploading of this video was to show how we plan to help anyone going through something or thinking of an abortion and to show our views." And then she added, "I totally agree with you on it being presented in another way. As a mom, I'm still learning from things, and I do hope to learn from this in the future documentaries that we do."
She put the entire blame on her husband, Cole.
Oh, yeah.
She was
way
like,
"Way to throw him under the bus."
She's like, I wasn't me. Don't get mad at me. I wasn't me.
You know, he was like, "Babe, please don't do that." And she was like, "Do you want to get lucky tonight or not?" He's like,
I think the whole documentary was his idea and she was just being a supportive wife. I don't think she had from that. Well, I'm just assuming things. I'm making things up.
Yeah.
Allegedly. This is me assuming. There's no fact checking in the words that are coming out of my mouth right now. It seems from that tweet, I think she was hesitant about the whole thing and he really wanted to do it. And it was his project and she was the face of it because she's the one who had a baby and could have had an abortion instead. So from what I got from that, she was just like, "I didn't want to do this. This was not mine. I don't want to hurt people." And that's all there was to it. Has Cole tweeted anything?
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Well, first of all, I get the impression, and this is all allegedly, not facts, just my impression. Uh-huh. I get the impression the way they prioritize things in their life, for Cole, it's like, I don't want to relate it all back to the church, but like it's his personal religious beliefs come first and then his social media platform comes second. And I think for Savannah, it's social media and money comes first and her personal beliefs come second. That's the vibe I'm getting. Here we go.
I get a different vibe. I'm catching different feelings over here. I think for him, his image comes first. And he wants to be seen as a holy Christian good guy. And he wants his fame. We've talked about this and we'll touch on it again, exploits the children. And there's a difference between filming your family and exploiting your children. We'll touch on that in a minute as well. But if he were a good, holy man in faith above all else, I think he would have issues exploiting his children the way he does. And so for me, he acts as though his faith comes first, but really it's his image. This is all me just making this up. Ooh. But this is the vibes I'm catching.
Right. So that makes sense.
I have just known people that have a similar personality to his, and from what I've dissected, knowing them personally, that's what I've seen, is like their image is their number one, and to keep that image up, they act as though other things are their number one to make them look like better people.
Oh, and you don't think he does that like from a business standpoint, where he's like, maybe if I put this out, people will think so much better of me and like we'll get more followers? Like, yeah, is that the vibe you're getting?
Yeah, like I think he's like, I want people to think I'm a really good person, and this is what he thinks is a really good person. Again, this is all an assumption. The vibe I'm picking up, I've met them. I am not friends with them. I don't really know them that well personally. This is just what I've seen. And my personal impression, when my personal impression also involves my life experiences with people in the past that I could be projecting onto them.
It kind of fits. A lot of our listeners ended up DMing me other scandalous things this family has done in the past that I was not aware of. So apparently back in 2018, they posted a video falsely claiming that the California wildfires were really close to their house.
I saw that.
They might have to evacuate. The video was even titled, "A Giant Fire Makes Us Evacuate Our House."
Yeah.
And they showed their car like packed full of necessities. They even picked up Everly from the grandmother's house, and they told her they were going far, far away from the fire and that she didn't have to be scared anymore. However, it was later revealed that none of this was true.
Nope.
After one of the LeBrant's neighbors came forward and said that their community was never told they had to leave their homes and there was no mandatory evacuations, and basically that the fire was on the other side of the mountain.
I was closer to the fire than them. When that happened, I remember seeing that and being like, what?
Right.
I was fine. Like, I was miles, just breathing in some ash.
Right. And they're just like lounging by the pool. We have to evacuate. And then this one really got me. In 2021, they posted a video called "She Got Diagnosed with Cancer," and then in parentheses, documentary. And in the vlog, the couple basically expressed they were wondering if their daughter Posey might have cancer because she had pain in her legs. And then they later on revealed that Posey does not have cancer, but that they wanted to highlight the children who do and raise money for research towards childhood cancer. So they were basically using childhood cancer and their child as clickbait.
They led us to believe, they clickbaited that their child had cancer when she does not.
Right.
That is wrong. So there's as a creator, there's clickbaity titles that like, you know, they're to catch people's attention.
Yeah.
But then there's just outright lies and dirty titles and dirty clickbait titles. Like, I can be like, oh my God, this, I don't even know how to, I'm terrible at clickbait. Emily yells at me all the time for it because I'm like, I have a really hard time doing it. But there's things where it's like, she ate a whole bee, when it's like a bee flew into someone's mouth and then flew out, and then everyone in the video is like, oh my God, you ate a bee. And they're like, no, I didn't. That is a clickbait title. She didn't need a bee.
Right.
But there was a joke about it and said in the video, whatever. Sure.
Right.
That's clickbait. That is acceptable. But lying about someone having cancer, that's just wrong. That's just a lie. That's not clickbait. That's a lie.
Yeah. I mean, technically, they were able to get away with it because they said she and not Posey got diagnosed with cancer. That's how you're allowed to get it. Like, I mean, it's not right or like morally.
No, you get away.
Correct,
you get like, away with it. It's, you post whatever you want and get away with it if you still have followers.
Right.
That was wrong.
Yeah. Well, and then, So it gets worse. So I also had people, apparently there's an entire Reddit thread that you can, you know, just find if you Google like LeBrant scandalous tweets or something. And it's just chock full of everything throughout the years, like wrong that they've tweeted. And so one of my personal favorites was Cole LeBrant back in 2019 tweeted.
So this is not that long ago.
No, none of this is that long ago.
Okay.
Right. Right. Thank you. He tweeted. All right. Let me get my voice on. To those of you saying depression and anxiety are a result of a chemical imbalance in your brain, try this. Surround yourself with good people.
Stop.
Work out more.
No.
Breathe. Drink more water. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Make your bed. Shower more. Get more sun. Get off your phone and stop drinking and using recreational drugs. Wow.
No.
I'm cured. Thank you, Cole.
So shut up, because clinical depression and anxiety are a literal chemical imbalance in your brain, which is nothing to be ashamed of. It should be nothing to be like minimized. It is a real thing that medicine can help. And then medicine helping can make you go out and do more things. And then you do feel better as a person. There are situational depression, seasonal depression, just like, you know, those things. And then when the sun comes out, you're like, oh, I'm cured. Okay. That is a thing. Clinical depression is you are born with a chemical imbalance in your brain that medicine helps, not right. Going sniffing a flower.
Well, do you want, he got some backlash. Do you want to know what his follow up to this was?
Please. I don't, but I do.
I'm gonna be real for a sec.
No.
Our society sorry, I need to concentrate. Our society loves to do whatever you want mentality, believes there's no consequences for our actions, yet wonders why everyone's struggling from crippling anxiety and depression. This world and its lies will suffocate you. Freedom is found in Jesus alone. He's the most loving father who wants nothing more than to replace all your pain with peace. Just ask him. Is there like a number I should like dial?
Why? I was in the Christian community my whole life. Why are they so anti-therapy? Why do they think, oh, we can just pray it away? It's like a doctor. Like, you have a sickness, you go to a doctor and they can help you get better, right?
And Jesus can help you get better, Rachel, according to Cole.
But like, God created humans. Right. Okay. And some of those humans became doctors and they're there to help. And then also right. God created some therapists and they are also there to help. Why are they so, I don't understand why it's so anti-therapy. That community, I've noticed in my own personal experience, they are very anti-therapy and it makes no sense. I'm very pro-therapy because it's,
same.
Fantastic. Also, my therapist does believe in God. And that's so there are Christian therapists as well who can be like, listen, yeah. You have clinical depression. Let's help you with that. Also, you know, it's good to pray. That can be a thing. That can be a thing. You are against it. That's fine. Because you would not have a Christian therapist. But I'm saying like, that is, I don't understand. I don't understand why they just go, you're sad, pray it off.
He'll look out for you. And it's like, it's not even that you're sad. It's like, you're literally sick.
Yeah.
It's a disease. And, like, you're sick.
And I know a lot of Christian communities believe that if you're depressed, it's just you're not having a strong enough relationship with God. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone should be in therapy. Every single human being should be in therapy.
Agreed. Therapy's wonderful.
Okay.
So should we check our sponsor for today? BetterHelp.
Actually, this is a great moment to see if we do have a sponsor for today. Sponsor.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So, other weird things.
I did not realize this episode was just going to be me freaking out about LeBrant true tweets, but
no, I love this. Okay. I love getting your live reaction. Okay. Because this was me when people were sending them in. I kept running to like the living room to my friend and I was like, guess what else he tweeted, and like we were laughing about it. Anyway,
okay.
He apparently, after him and Savannah got married, he tweeted out that he was no longer a virgin.
Saw that.
Sex for the first time. Interesting.
I saw that in real time.
And was Savannah, so not Colt. You saw it in real time, I'm so sorry.
Like when he tweeted it, I saw it that day.
Right. Oh my God. Savannah, not Cole this time. Savannah, when the Trump Biden elections were going on, would this be Trump Biden? No.
It would
this
be Hillary was Trump.
Hillary Trump, yeah. She tweeted out, "Everyone's going crazy about who to vote for. It's either a baby murderer or the guy who badmouths women. Like that's just the least thing that he's ever done. Like, okay, I'm just over here loving Jesus." It's so
wow. How privileged of you that your life will not be affected by either of them
right.
being in office. Guess what? Millions of people
bad mouths women when he is literally a predator.
Okay.
Anyway, and then Cole tweeted, you know, around the same time, "I'm not a racist."
No, immediately.
You always know when that comes out of someone's mouth, it's going to be followed with, "But
racist comment.
I'm not a racist." Yeah. "I'm not a racist. I support women's rights. I love all gays." Lies. "I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I voted for Trump." Let's
what? No.
Let's break that down for a minute.
So him saying that means I know Trump is racist, homophobic, sexist, all of the things that he said he's not.
Yes.
Him saying that means he knows Trump's all those things.
Right.
And him voting for Trump leads to him looking like he is all those things as well. Because.
Yep. Yep. So. Okie dokie. Interesting. And then someone sent me a screenshot of one of their videos they put out. It doesn't say the date, but Posey was young. So maybe like 2 years ago. And they captioned it for people, you know, that hate when other people sexualize children and teach children about, you know, sex and anatomy and consent and other necessary things. Well, and they're just like very homophobic and anti-gay and like, you know, so for parents that don't want their children learning about quote unquote adult topics, they posted a video called "Baby Posey Meets Her Future Husband for the First Time." And
yeah,
she looks about 8 months old.
Yes, but that's not sexualizing
it. But the gays are the ones sexualizing the children.
Because in their mind, when they think of gay people, all they think is gay sex. They don't see us as human beings. They see us as people who are having gay sex. So anything gay is gay sex.
We're like, we just want children to know we exist.
Cue my last Rachel Uncensored called All Things Queer Sex.
Right. Yeah. And then a couple people were DMing.
Did you see the comment on our queer sex episode of Rachel Uncensored? Someone was like, "I have got to this video because I was trying to search the LeBrant's anti-abortion documentary and your video came up. And I love that anyone looking up that documentary has to be blasted in the face with a title and thumbnail that says queer sex.
And me gesturing very sexually."
Yep.
Have fun with that. yeah. And then a couple people were sending me, apparently I couldn't find much on this. I could only find Everly's biological father's side of this and then a few comments made by the LeBrants. But there's not like – take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But apparently the LeBrants have been pushing on their channel. They have said – Cole has said several times in the past that Everly's biological father is a great dad to her and a great person and like, you know, that he always wants him to be involved. But then at the same time, and this is true, at the same time, they've put videos out there with titles like, I can't remember exact phrasing, but titles implying that Everly's dad is kind of like a deadbeat and not in the picture. And Cole even tweeted himself that, because someone tweeted at Cole and said, "I wish you would just adopt Everly." And he tweeted back, "I would if I could." So like they sit there and they make these videos implying that Everly's dad like doesn't care about her, that he's absent and not involved. But when you go to his Instagram and his Twitter, it's just blasted with pictures of him and Everly. And then he even tweeted out, Someone commented on one of his Instagram pictures of him and Everly and said, can y'all fight Savannah and Cole for more custody of her, like Everly? They exploit her for money and it's sad. And he replied back, I don't have the money to fight for her. She knows it and I know it. I live in an apartment. She lives in a $3.5 million mansion. Seeing my daughter as at the mercy of our co-parenting now, I pray that it will work out. So they're making him out on their channel to be this like horrible dad, even though occasionally they'll make comments being like, no, he's great. But then they'll like make a video and be like, Everly's deadbeat dad. When really like he just literally doesn't have money to fight custody for her. And apparently they've been bashing him even more recently because he's been trying to bring up the subject of them exploiting her for views. And so they're trying to really like knock his image down because they don't want him winning more custody or like bringing to light his opinions on how they raise their children and put them online.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to touch on the exploiting of children real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So last week we talked about this. People mentioned that like I shut down the conversation when we started talking about exploiting children. It was not because I was trying to stop Emily from just that discussion. It was because we were also kind of at that same moment speaking on behalf of Everly and talking about started talking about kids. And I wanted to have a discussion with Emily being like, we need to, when we talk about kids on this show, we need to tread lightly because they are minors and
yeah,
we don't know what's going on. And also like they can't give their consent really they don't know what's going on. So for us to badmouth children, that's not what we were doing, but I was scared that might lead to that. I don't want to do that. So yeah. Parents up for grabs. They are consenting and putting themselves on the internet. But yeah. The children, I don't. I also find that there is a huge difference in being a family vlogger and filming your family's life and your kid's life. And, you know, there's no problem in that. I think there's a problem when you prank your kids, when you make them go through these like terrible things for views and clickbait them like crazy. I think that is exploiting children. Vlogging your life and whatever is totally fine. If the kids are happy and they're not being pushed to a limit, they shouldn't, and they're not like being tirelessly worked for views. I have no, like they're just existing and they're being filmed existing. I think that's fine. The second if a kid goes, I don't want to, then it shouldn't happen. But I think they're exploiting is when you, there's been families, I believe we've talked about it. There's families that the Child Protective Services has been called on because they were like tormenting their kids for views and doing these elaborate pranks. And the kids weren't happy and they're crying and like filming kids crying and stuff and putting things on the internet that could embarrass them later in life. I think that's exploiting them.
Yeah. I mean, the LeBrants put out, this was something else that was sent to me. The LeBrants put out in 2019, they played a prank on Everly, who was 6 at the time. And they pretended like they were giving away her family dog, like her dog,
yeah,
like that she was obsessed with. And they kept the joke going for so long that she ended up breaking down and sobbing and like burying her face in the couch because she was so upset while they continued to film it for YouTube. And after a few minutes of getting a good chunk of footage, you know, instead of comforting her or just like not doing this in the first place, they filmed her reaction when they said, you know, this is all for a video. It's just a joke, to which she burst into tears again. And then Cole turns the camera towards his face and he goes, too far? You freaking think?
Yeah. Like I understand that like, when you first start vlogging, you have to figure out that line. So like people make mistakes when they're first trying to figure all this out, you know. I don't like pranks ever. I've never been for them. We don't really do pranks in my family. We've never done that. But when you're an established channel, you gotta know the lines. Like you have to figure those out. Yeah. And I feel like they keep continuing to wrong Everly in this.
It's just like the Ace family and like that, like instead of comfort, like when their kids get hurt, instead of running over as a caring parent and scooping them up and comforting them and helping them and making them feel better, their first knee-jerk reaction is to grab the camera and start filming it.
Yeah.
That is like, literally, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that is your child. That's not a paycheck.
Yes.
So, yeah. And then that family you're talking about, I think it was called, like, Daddy of Five or Mommy of Five. It was, and the channel got shut down, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were – it was genuinely abuse what they were doing. And CPS got called, and two of their children got taken away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that –
yeah, because there's evidence. Philip DeFranco,
yeah.
But right when the story broke, he had his team download every single video on that channel to use, because he was like, I'm doing this for legal reasons for the kids. He was like, I don't want them to delete their channel and the evidence not be there. So Philip DeFranco's team downloaded every single video on that channel and sent it to CPS.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. So, yes. I know some people, yeah. There are some people who think you shouldn't film your children at all. And them kids being constantly in videos is, they think that's exploiting. I think there's a different line. If a kid is emotionally traumatized by something, that is not okay. And because kids don't understand. Kids don't understand, like, it's a joke. It's a prank.
Right.
That is traumatizing. As an adult, we understand. I don't like them. I still don't like them. I had to tell Emily that.
She's like, don't ever prank me.
I'm having Emily move out here. And I was like, hey, before you move out, I feel like we should have this conversation because it's something deep in my heart. I do not do pranks.
She's like, you can do a jump scare, but don't like stand outside my window in a creepy mask and scratch on my glass. I was like, wasn't planning on it, but thanks for letting me know.
Listen, I have boundaries and I got to let people know where they are and what they are.
Yeah, it's better to say it ahead of time.
Yep.
Yep. Ugh. All right. Well, yeah, that was it for our updates on the LeBrant family. But if we missed anything or if there's any more updates, always let us know in the comments because yes. I love reading that.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So in other news, last Monday. Yes.
Oh, wait. Let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor. Sponsor. All right. What's the other news?
Last Monday. Our Lord and Savior, Britney Spears, announced that she's pregnant.
She is. I saw that.
We know.
She seems very happy.
She seems very happy, yes. She has been held in a conservatorship for the past 14 years. And a few months ago, you know, that ended. She was set free and she was finally able to get her forced IUD removed. She had been pleading for years for the courts to let her remove it so that she could have children. And they always said no. Finally, she won. So at the beginning of last week, she posted a picture on Instagram saying, I lost so much weight to go on my Maui trip only to gain it back. I thought, geez, what happened to my stomach? My husband said, no, you're food pregnant, silly. So I got a pregnancy test and well, I'm having a baby. 4 days later, I got a little more food pregnant. It's growing. So cute. So Britney, but so cute.
It is so Britney. It is so Britney. I hope she has the support that she's going to need to be a mom again, and I hope that everyone's healthy and happy, and you know, I hope the best for all of them.
Well, and her fiance Sam was so cute too, because he posted on his Instagram and he stated, fatherhood is something I've always looked forward to and I don't take lightly. It is the most important job I will ever do, which I thought was adorable.
I hope it's just like the best thing that's ever happened to them, because I know she has wanted a baby for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, she has her two other kids, but like, I get the impression that she wasn't really allowed to parent them growing up. So
yes.
Like, you know, I know she has a relationship and she's already a mom, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe she'll be able to be more hands on with this child.
Yes.
And so I'm looking forward to watching that. But when Britney's ex, Kevin Federline, is that how you say it? Federline?
If I recall, yes.
Literally. Anyway, nope, moving on. Learned the news, he responded with congratulations to her and Sam as they go through the excitement of planning parenthood together. But then when the paparazzi stopped Justin Timberlake outside of a building and told him the news, there was a bit of a different reaction. They basically shouted at him, like, Justin, did you hear Britney said she's pregnant with a baby? He reacted by swatting in the direction of the cameraman and shouted, stop, go away, then proceeded to sarcastically stomp his feet, like kind of like in like a little tantrum motion, and says, he's got me stomping my feet. The whole thing was caught on film and blasted on Twitter, and a lot of tweets have popped up since bashing Justin for his tantrum-like response.
But honestly,
all I saw was someone that was annoyed with paparazzi.
Think it had anything to do with Britney. I think he was just annoyed with paparazzi.
That's what I thought.
Imagine being like 40 and someone's still bringing up your ex from when you were 18.
If I wasn't just about to say that.
Right?
Could you imagine like your high school sweetheart, like someone coming up to you and being like, hey, I don't know if you heard, but like they're married now.
Okay. Same.
Congratulations.
Like that's, yeah. He's literally married. Like he's.
Right.
It's over. It's like, that's ridiculous. Kevin Federline is still in her life because they do share kids.
Yeah.
And that sounds great. I'm glad he's being supportive and stuff. I know they had a very rocky relationship. I know this because the paparazzi was everywhere and the paparazzi's annoying.
Right.
Oh my God, I had a dream I was paparazzi last night. Why is that a thing that just popped into my head?
I love that.
But yeah, that was him being annoyed with the paparazzi. I don't think that was him being annoyed that Britney's pregnant. He doesn't care.
Right. I think a lot of the reason he was like maybe a little more snippy than if it had been about someone else is because like he's been in the news so recently about like even Britney's been blasting him recently, saying that like he used her name to like launch his career and like he did all of this shady stuff to her. So like maybe he's just over the subject because it's like it's been talked about so much, and he's just like every time he talks about it, it gets him in hot water, and so he's like, I'm just not gonna say anything. But like I wasn't getting like a jealous or like mean react. I was just getting like, dude, I'm trying to walk into a building, like stop harassing me.
He does not care about her,
right?
Okay.
Well, but a bunch of the people that were tweeting that clip and like being mad at him, they were basically saying like, how easy would it have been for him to just be like, oh, congrats, and then like move on?
Yeah.
But it's like, you have to understand, these people are just like hounded and hounded, and they never get a break, and they're exhausted, and they never get privacy. So like,
yeah,
I'm gonna give him a pass this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
If we learned anything from the Britney documentary,
yeah,
the paparazzi can go shove it.
Yeah.
So when someone's being hounded by paparazzi, I'm like, okay, like it's kind of, I see that they are
fair
tired.
Game.
And it's over. I'm not going to take too much offense to anything they do.
Right. Yeah. So that's it. And then the one last Big-ish, is that a word? Big news story. Because it's not like big, but it's like not a blurb.
Medium size?
Yeah, our medium size. That's good. Ellen DeGeneres is in the hot seat again for not respecting people's boundaries per usual.
Oh, I did see this. Emily mentioned this, like, oh, we're talking about Ellen. And I was like, I didn't see anything. I did remember. She scared Kim Kardashian, right?
Yeah. So we've covered in the past about how she often values humor and entertainment and views over being kind and respectful to her guests. We talked recently about how she sexualized Jacob Elordi, who plays that actor, who's an actor that plays Nate Jacob on Euphoria. When he came to an interview on her show, he complained about how he often feels uncomfortable with being constantly sexualized on set. And instead of validating his feelings or empathizing with him in any way, her initial response was to say something along the lines of like, well, of course they sexualize you, look at you. And so be better, like do better,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So then recently she had Kim Kardashian on her show for an interview, and it's really well known, and Ellen is well aware, that Kim has a crippling fear of spiders. And so during the interview, Ellen pulls out a box while saying, I do want to help you get over something. And before Ellen even finishes her sentence, Kim starts screaming, no, no, no. Ellen responds with, you're scared of spiders. Kim says, no, absolutely not. We're not doing this to me. I'm never going to get over it. Ellen then says, it's not loose. It's not a loose spider, showing the glass box with a massive spider inside, which causes Kim to jump up from her seat, scream. She said, no, we've been through this. I don't care. I don't want to get over my fear. I don't care. And then she like starts physically backing away from Ellen with her arms like held out in front of her. And that's when Ellen opens up the box and flings the fake spider at her. And of course, Kim didn't know it was fake. So she like is screaming stop consistently, and then actually ends up walking off of the stage. Like,
I'm Kris Jenner, I don't think would let anything happen that she didn't know about. I can't imagine, like, because when they, so I've known people who've gone on talk shows, and it's discussed ahead of time what they're going to discuss. They have a pre-interview being like, okay, here's all the things that we can't talk about. And they grab stories from you. And then you have your actual interview. And before you even go on, you meet the host and like, okay, we're talking about these things. All right, cool. Yeah. And like the publicist, the agent, the manager all know what's going to be said. And there's a list of things you can and cannot say. So if Ellen really did go off the handle and just decided to do this without Kris Jenner's approval, that's a bold move. And we'll only find out if that was true if Kim never goes on that show again.
Well, there are already a couple actors and actresses that refused to go on her show because of how poorly they were treated. It's like,
I believe that. I'm utterly shocked if Ellen did that without someone on the team knowing that that was going to happen.
Right.
And, but if it's true, like, I obviously, even if it is planned, like, that sucks. Don't find humor in someone's phobia.
Well, because I was going to say, like, maybe her team knew, but she didn't.
Maybe.
And,
yeah.
And, like, are there worse things going on in the world that, like, we could be mad about?
Yes.
Obviously. But it's like, come on. Like, she's been called out, like, time and time again for making her guests uncomfortable, and she just doesn't seem to care. And I'm just kind of, I'm over it. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, isn't the wrong show ending?
Yeah, this is the last season.
Yeah, okay, so maybe she's just like, I don't care.
I don't care. I want to laugh.
Right.
I'm just like, I can't believe if she did that without their permission, they have to be pissed.
Oh, well, like I said, she walked off.
Yeah.
So, like,
Then that means if her walking off does lead me to believe that it wasn't planned. Or, I mean, she didn't know about it.
Right. I only saw that clip where she walked off and she was like, bye, everyone, and like walked off. I don't know if she walked back on to finish the interview or if that was the last of it. But like, still, like, just stop making people uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, it's really
also
not hard.
That also leads other people to believe that it's okay to do that to other people. Like,
right.
It's just an ongoing thing.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, that's it for big news stories. But like we said, feel free to update us in the comments or shoot us a DM on our Instagram page, All Things Internet Podcast.
Yeah, I was like, why are you like that plug? Like that? Yeah, I did like that plug. That was a good plug.
Yeah.
So, all right. Do we have any little news stories?
We don't have any littles, but I do have, I think we have time for either a game or a question.
Let's do a game. Let's play a game. We got some time. Let's do that.
Good choice. All right. Okay, so because we got a bunch of new followers after last week's episode.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Welcome to the
love
mess.
You.
Welcome to the mess that is this show.
Yes. If you're new here, the way we usually run our show is we give the news, then we play a game, and then we answer some questions. So for this week's game, we're actually going to talk about mandala effects. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Love them. Okay. Didn't know if there was going
to
be a comment.
Sorry. No, I had a yawn. I had a yawn, so I was going to comment, but I was like, nope, this is just happening. I can't stop this.
Yep. Yes. So the mandala effect got its name after Nelson Mandela, who's like an anti-apartheid activist, died in 2013. But everyone was so confused because there was like, it was like pretty well known that he died back in 1980. So when the news was announced in 2013 that he had died, everyone was like really thrown off, and it led to some pretty interesting discussions around like parallel universes and timelines and whatever. And so now people, there's like hundreds of different well-recognized mandala effects, such as the Wicked Queen from Snow White. This one got me this morning. She never said mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. She actually said magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all.
What?
Like, Right. So I'm going to ask you what version of something you think is correct. And we're going to see if you're remembering correctly or if you're remembering facts from your alternate universe.
I do these every time there's a BuzzFeed quiz on this.
But
I always get them wrong still.
Okay.
Because now I'm just confused.
Right. Now you're like, yeah, I definitely know. And then it's just wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I've seen this one before. Nope. Don't know.
Right. Okay. Is it the peanut butter brand. Is it Jif or Jiffy?
I think it's Jif.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jif. But
we always called it Jiffy growing up.
I call it Jiffy Pop was the popcorn you shake on the stove.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's where people's confusion lies.
Oh, that I think makes
it's
sense.
Because it's Skippy as well. Skippy is a brand. It's Jif, Skippy, and then there's Jiffy Pop. So I think people have just combined all those. I don't think that's the Mandela effect. I think that's people. Because when I can see the label in my head, and I don't see a why.
Oh, see, I see a why. In my head, I remember my mom being like, go to the next aisle and grab some Jiffy peanut butter. And I see it, J-I-F-F-Y. Well,
oh, I do not. I also ate Skippy. I didn't eat Jif. So I also like didn't have that part of my life. I can just see the lettering and it's all very straight. And the Y would have confused
thrown
me.
It off.
It would have thrown me off.
All right. Did Curious George have a tail?
Yes.
No.
What? What?
Is it? Mm-mm. Curious George's tail was never there.
Oh, wait. You're
even
right.
Though he's a monkey. Yeah.
I can, that's weird, I can right? picture, yeah, I can kind of picture when he's on the ground, I see no tail, but if he's hanging like up, like hanging on something, he has a tail in my head.
Interesting.
I see a different.
Is it a different monkey?
Is this a different monkey I'm thinking of?
Was it Sex in the City or Sex and the City?
I always say Sex in the City, but I know it's Sex and the City.
Yeah, it's Sex and the City. That's dumb. They should change it.
Yeah, right?
Okay, was it, this one always gets me, was it Fruit Loops with fruit spelled correctly or fruit with two O's?
Fruit, here's the thing, as a kid I couldn't read, so.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's fruit spelled correctly?
No.
What?
With two O's, yeah.
Well, it was always see, I'm going to chalk this up to just me not being able to read till I was 12 years old.
Yeah. You were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one's a big one. Did the Monopoly man have a monocle?
I say yes, but I know it's a no.
Yeah.
I know it. Well, he had one.
He had one.
He had a top have you hat, seen, a cane, and a monocle.
Have you seen those TikToks where people pull out like retro Monopoly boards and the guy has a monocle and they're like, something shifted in the universe and like we're all in a different dimension. And they do this with like.
He did have a monocle at one point.
There are TikToks that claim he did. It could be Photoshop. They could have drawn it on. They could. I don't know. But like there are TikToks that claim there are like movie posters, like old Disney movie posters, or the one that got me, Lilo and Stitch. There was a scene where she crawls in the dryer when she's like hiding from her older sister. She crawls in the dryer and then remember her older sister gets up on the dryer and lays a blanket down so that when Lilo comes out of the dryer, she can snatch her up in the blanket. Do you remember that?
I didn't watch it.
Oh my God. Anyway, someone was watching that show on Disney Plus and that scene like didn't exist. And so it started this whole conversation on TikTok where basically people were being like, we vividly remember this scene.
Yeah,
like
I remember weird. The group, everyone like remembers it.
Right. Well, apparently Disney had to cut it out because they didn't want to encourage kids to go hide in dryers. But it was good.
It sounds like it was edited out.
Yeah, it was a good 24 hours of everyone freaking out.
Okay.
All right. Kit Kat. Does it have a dash between the kit and the cat?
Yeah.
No, there's no hyphen. Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we all remember it? It's so confusing. The fact that we all.
We're in a simulation. All right, last one. Was it Cheez-Its or Cheez-It?
Cheez-Its. I say Cheez-Its, but I know that's wrong.
Yeah, it's Cheez-It with no Z.
But you want some Cheez-Its. You want multiple of them. I don't want a Cheez-It. I want Cheez-Its.
What is the plural of Cheez-It?
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-It?
Cheez-It.
Yeah. So Cheez-Its. Those get me. I love those.
All right. Yeah. Well, let us know if you thought we're crazy or you were all confused.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's all the time I have to pop my hip. I popped my hip and it felt so good. Just thought I'd let everybody know.
Keep us informed.
I will tell you what I am cracking.
I'm going to write a BuzzFeed article about this. Okay. Rachel Ballinger tells fans about hip crack.
What? All right. That is it for today. We will see you next Monday. I hope everyone has had a fantastic Easter if you celebrated. If you didn't, I hope you had a fantastic week last week. And we should see you next Monday. Unless something breaks in the next few days, then we'll just do a surprise episode. We decided that.
Oh, yeah.
We just decided this. If something breaks on like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're gonna do a surprise episode, but we'll still have our regular Monday ones. But we just want to, if we get really excited about things and then we're like, well, that was like a week ago. We can't talk about it now. So we decided if things break, we'll jump on it if it's big enough. But thank you guys for watching and listening. We love you. Remember to subscribe and follow us. Give us a good rating on whatever you're listening to us on. That'd be nice.
All right. Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week. Emily, you have anything to add?
Nope. Just love you guys.
All right. Love you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of All Things Internet. Please make sure to like and follow our podcast on whichever platform you're currently listening to it on. And make sure to follow us at PodcastATI on Twitter, where you can ask questions and get the latest updates on our show. We love you. Thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Ballinger, and this has been All Things Internet.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.